I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. And we've got a gentleman who has traveled long and far to get here today. He's been on the show before, and he really has some great information when it comes to real estate, where we're at with the market, buyers, selling. And anyway, his name is Jeffrey Marcus, and he is a seniors real estate specialist. Also a member of the National Association of Realtors, recognized as a top 100 realtor with Sotheby's International, and we could go on and on. So thank you for coming all the way from Cape Cod, Jeffrey.
I'm blushing, Ann.
It's so good to have you here.
Yeah,
and last time
here.
You were on the show, we got a great response from all the information
that
you shared, because it's such a hot topic for everybody. You know,
sure.
Whether you're a first-time home buyer, whether you're a senior like me, wondering what should I do, and you do your homework, you do this on a daily basis.
Yep.
So you've gone from stock trading to real estate, so you know your stuff. So what's the latest trend right now in real estate, Jeff?
So the latest trend right now is that all the hot markets of the last 5 years are cooling down. A lot of people move from up north to Florida and Texas for tax reasons and the warmth, and probably because they have more room to build houses down there. And now it seems like those are sellers' markets. Those are buyers' markets, where there are a lot of sellers. And the sellers' markets, where it's tougher to buy, are now in the Northeast. And in fact, Zillow just came out with a survey that said 11 of the top 28 sellers' markets are in the Northeast, in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New York.
So it's kind of turned around a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you at all?
Not really. If you follow economics, things go in cycles, and that's normally the way it happens. And also, I think whenever someone figures they're going to go somewhere, they think the dream is better than the reality.
Yeah.
So when you go down there and it's 100 degrees every single day, maybe someone says, well, this isn't what I bargained for. And or maybe they miss their kids who are in the Northeast and they want to go back. And perhaps there's just, just a drive to have something different or whatever. I don't really know. But normally things do go in cycles.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you say that, because I have a daughter in Texas and I have a mother in Florida, and that's where I'm at. Well, do I want to live here? And so I tried it out, right? I've tried it out on several occasions.
Right.
And after sitting by the pool at my mother's complex and listening to the women talk, I said, I can't live here.
Right.
So, you know, the other piece of advice for people, it might look great on the internet. It might be great for someone else you know that lives down there, but you got to try it out. You got to sample it.
It's a great idea.
Okay,
really.
So how about first-time home buyers? What's trending right now?
So one of the things I think that's important, first-time home buyers are having a really rough time, very, very tough time, because interest rates looked like they were coming down and they didn't.
Mm.
Everyone thought, prices have gone up have gone up like a rocket ship for 5 years and they're about to come down. None of that has happened. And frankly, not to be a downer, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
So one of the important things I think people have to do is to think about the whole market. You can probably break it down into four types of people who are in housing.
Mm-hmm.
First-time home buyers, they don't have a home and they want to buy a home. I would say they have it the roughest. They haven't experienced the appreciation, so they don't have that equity to work with. Then there are expanding families. They have more kids. They need a bigger house. They have to buy. And then the most important section of this is probably seniors. So seniors own 65% of the residential homes in America. They have 75% of the wealth in America. And so if you are a first-time home buyer, or if you are an expanding family, you're probably going to be buying from someone who's 55 or older. So it's kind of important to understand where you are in that mix.
Mm-hmm. Back to the first-time home buyer, as my kids just went through this process, it's over-asking, it's no inspection,
right.
There's just so many things that, people are selling their homes for. And it's, I remember when I bought my first home, and you know, the first couple of times, now somebody else got it, how disappointing that is. And so now even the landscape has changed where it, because it is a seller's market, right, here in the Northeast, things are just going like that.
Yeah.
And people are buying things, you know, off the internet, even sight unseen. So understanding, like you said, where you're at, but it sure can be a frustrating process for so many people.
It is. But there are, you know, there are programs to take advantage of for first-time home buyers, lower down payments. I would advise somebody find a financial person, a bank, that where there's a person who's doing, thinking outside of the box, you know, who's watching interest rates, who can explain to you how to, you know, maybe you buy down the rate, so you put a little extra in and you buy a lower rate, which works out better in the long run, maybe money up front. But, or you look for someone who's kind of watching the rates and has different ideas about like a five, you know, different 5-1 or something, like who has a different idea about how to finance something. So if you're looking forward to, maybe you're thinking, hey, rates will come down in the next 5 years, so I don't want to lock myself in for 30. Maybe I'll do something shorter term. So maybe find a you know, someone who's not just in the box, but thinking outside of the box,
right,
who's willing to watch that
right
stuff.
And there's so many cash buyers out there now, too.
Yep.
Because you said, you know, the majority of homeowners are seniors.
Yep.
So you sell your big house, you've got the cash, you can go, you know, take something up in a minute.
Sure.
So there's such a competitive edge when it comes to that. Again, we're speaking with Jeffrey Marcus from Sotheby's, and is a seniors real estate expert. I mean, I can see why you would study that and go to classes for that and
absolutely
get certified in
yep
that. And that leads me into, you know, the importance of the right realtor. Why is it so important to have you see you through this process? Let's use me as an example.
Okay.
I'm in that process. You know,
you look so young.
I've had a little work done. but you know, it's important to have that relationship, right? And that professionalism,
sure,
to see you through, because you accumulate, especially as a senior, you've lived there. I've lived in my house for 31 years.
Yep.
And the stuff and the emotional attachment. How does someone like you help someone like me?
So all of the things you said are completely accurate. You know, there are people who've lived in their homes for 20 or 30 years. They have basements and attics full of not only their kids' ex stuff, but photographs.
Beanie Babies, they got a bunch of
all kinds of stuff,
yep,
that they don't want to throw out, but they know they should.
Yep.
So one of the things that's important, and I've written a report on this, is kind of looking through and trying to figure out, are you living in the house that's best for you? So there's a house that you have, and say it's a, you know, it's a 4-bedroom, 3,500 square foot house, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
And but now there's only two of you in it, and you're like, this is too much for me. This is too big. There's too much upkeep. Maybe it's too far. It's all the TOOs. Too big, too much upkeep, too far away from my kids, too far away from my friends, all that kind of stuff. So is the house best for you? And you can ask yourself questions like, how often am I doing certain activities? Because maybe you want to be a place where there are more activities, more people like you that you can do things with. Maybe your friends aren't close enough to you. How often do you see your kids? How often are you fixing things around the house? All that kind of stuff. So if you think about that, and then try to think about what you actually need. How many bedrooms do we need? You know, how often do we use this room?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. So even though it's hard to give up the emotional thing, because that's where you brought up your kids and all that, it's important to think like, I've got years ahead of me. What do I really want? And so those are the kind of things that when I sit down with someone, I say, you know, they say, oh, I love my house. And my first thing is to say, then you should stay here. And then they say, no, I want to leave. And then, which is, as a sales guy, is good, because then you want people to actually commit before you go through the whole process. But you also want people to understand that it is time to move. And then from the other side, you mentioned first-time home buyers and other people who are trying to buy homes. It's important to understand who the other person is. Who is the person that you're buying the house from? And you know,
because not to interrupt you, but because oftentimes they really have the ultimate decision as to who they sell to, right?
Yes.
I mean, you've got this realtor, but don't tell me they're not chatting and what about this person and what about that person? Right. So it really does make a big difference.
People, you know, sellers do not have to sell to the person at the highest price.
Mm.
It's not, there's no law that says you have to sell to the person at the highest price. Now, of course, I would advise people, I want people to get the most for their homes, but they don't have to. Mm-hmm. And a big problem that especially seniors have, I think, is it's such a big jump, it's such a big process that they can't see themselves clear to the other side. So if I were a buyer in this market, I don't have a ton of buyer clients, but if I were a buyer in this market, and how I advise buyers is I say to them, think about the person you're buying the house from.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to make them the most comfortable to sell to you? And there are lots of things you can do. So as a buyer, you can say to the seller, look, we can have a flexible closing date. So if you want to sell to me, agree now, but you don't really want to move out for 4 or 5 months, that's fine. Take your time. Or you may want to rent back to them. So you close on the house, and then they rent back the house that you've now bought from them until they're ready to go, until they've got everything lined up. You may want to agree to buy some of the furniture or all the furniture that's in the house. Because a lot of times what stops people is, oh my God, what am I going to do with all this stuff I have here? You may also just want to tell them that in general, I will be flexible. Tell me what you need, mm-hmm. what will make you feel comfortable.
But how do you tell the seller that when you've got somebody in the middle, like a realtor? How do you let them know that?
Well, that's why you need a good realtor.
And that will communicate.
Yeah.
That.
And and not only should the realtor be advising you on all this and saying to you, hey, here are some things that we can talk about. Now, in Massachusetts, they've made the love letter illegal.
Oh, really? So you can't do that anymore?
No. So you can't write this like...
I know what they are.
Fancy little things saying...
Talking about you want to see your kids catching butterflies in the backyard and blah, blah, blah.
You're not supposed to do that. But you can say concrete things. Like, here are some of the things that I will be flexible on, like the things I just said, that will allow you the time and the kind of the...
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mental air to make this decision.
Why would they outlaw the letter? I mean, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's how my daughter got her house in Texas. She got it from the letter. Because
I was editing letters in COVID. It was
but not anymore.
I don't know why, but I think they thought that some of it was sort of unfair. And also, the letter leads into what are they actually saying in the letter?
Yeah,
like is it leading down some falsehoods or something
like that? Right, right. And with AI, who knows what people would be writing?
Right.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Jeffrey Marcus, and he's with Sotheby's. And you also write so much great information that you put on your website. And I want to give folks that website. I'll give it out again at the end of the show. But if you go to Jeffrey, JeffreyMarcus.com, that's where you can contact him and get some great information. So that's really interesting that, you know, like you said, being flexible and also, you know, the grass isn't always greener, right? Why do we feel like, you know, we got to sell our big house and then we've got to move like across the country and retire in this place because everybody else is? So you said earlier that Florida and Texas are no longer the retirement hotspots. What areas are?
Well, just let me correct that. I'm not sure if they are no longer the retirement hotspots. There's just a tipping point at which supply and demand. So if supply and demand are equal, then they're in equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
If supply is greater, now you've got a buyer's market. So we may have just got to the point where they overbuilt, and some of the people that were there said, like you said, I got to the pool and it was 110 degrees and I decided this was not for me.
Yep.
And they want to go back up, or maybe they're going to Virginia. I'll compromise between Massachusetts and Florida. I'll be in Virginia or something like that. So I don't know if I'm not sure where the retirement hotspots are, I would still think that there are people that I know that are buying places in Turks and Caicos or something like that. That's where they want to go, or all kinds of places. But the equilibrium goes back and forth.
Yeah.
The one of the reasons that the Northeast could still be a seller's market is that there's just fewer places to build in the Northeast. These are places that, you know, basically have been around since the Revolution. Mm-hmm. They're smaller states. They don't have huge amounts of land. Mm-hmm. Texas has got huge amounts of land.
Right.
Right. They can build. They can build places. You know, build homes in lots of places. Mm-hmm. So it's also easier in terms of regulation. Texas is pretty easy in terms of regulation too.
But what about the, you know, the new builds now with tariffs and things like that?
Yeah.
Is that still attainable or not?
Well, new building in the United States is still down, and you know, obviously, you know, Canada is where we get all of our wood from. That's a problem if we have tariffs, because we don't know where tariffs are.
Right,
they keep moving around.
It changes every day.
They keep moving around.
Yep.
But I mean, you know, some the threat of tariffs stops builders from building. It doesn't mm-hmm. actually have to occur.
Yeah,
it's just the threat of it. Because if you're trying to plan any business, and you're trying to get, you know, say, okay, I feel pretty comfortable. Here are my costs. And I know what my profits will be, but if those costs keep moving around, then it's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess if we didn't have tariffs or if we didn't have uncertainty there, we would probably have a lot more building in the United States right now. And just, I mean, I know you were going to get to this, but I told Ann before we went on about the guy who came to me, a new client of mine who wants to buy, and he's like, I think prices are going to get creamed. We're going to go back down to pre-COVID levels. And I had to say to him, I really love working with you, but we're going to have to agree to disagree on this. And I just want to kind of lay that out, that if you look at the statistics, in 2015, there were 1.9 million active listings in the United States. We are now, even after a rally off of 400,000 active listings, we are still below a million. Mm. So we're at 50% of where we were 10 years ago. And that's occurred because after the financial recession, after we had this great problem with the housing bubble, we just dropped off what we normally build every year. If you look from 2008, 50 years before that, the average build in the United States was about 1.5 million homes. We dropped down to 1.3 or 400,000 homes. And right now we're probably, if you look at that average, we're probably at like an over 7 million home deficit in the United States. And if you took the largest build ever, which was 1972, 2.3 million homes, if we all of a sudden jump from 1.4 to 2.3,
we still
it would take
make it
a decade to break even.
So we're never going to get there.
No,
so,
I don't
no,
think
and
so.
That's why, you know, strategy comes and doing your homework and having the right people around you
yep.
and preparing for selling or buying, right?
Right.
And, you know, you work in a fancy place, you know, you'd sell most of your homes right on Cape Cod
yep.
in that whole
yep.
area.
And the South Shore, which is equally as fancy.
And the South Shore, fancy, fancy. Lifestyles of the rich and famous kind of stuff,
yes,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you've seen it all.
Yes.
But why are people there selling? I mean, that's such a great destination location, the Cape.
People sell for all kinds of reasons. Like, let's say you had a place on the Cape for 30 years, but what happens a lot is that people who have money, you know, considerable amount of money, they buy places and they think in their head, oh, my kids are going to come mm-hmm. six times a year.
Yes.
And not that their kids don't like them, but their kids have teenagers who are in sports
yep.
and really busy and
absolutely.
They don't come.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got this big place and this beautiful place, but nobody's really visiting. So it's time, and this happens all the time, it's time to move closer to the kids. If they don't come to you,
you've
got to
them.
Go to them.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And that's even what I think about. I want to keep all my bedrooms because when the kids come
yes.
visit, and then I count the times the kids come visit, that's not making sense either.
Right.
You know, I'm just curious, how has the Airbnb business impacted real estate? Is it a good thing?
Well, on Cape Cod, what they did is, because there, you know, there's only two ways over to Cape Cod at the
yep.
bridges, they actually, because Airbnbs became a huge thing, people were buying homes to Airbnb them, they actually put a rental tax on. So a short-term rental tax, which is anything less than 30 days. And so 14%.
Wow.
Yeah. So initially we thought that was going to ruin everything. It didn't. It slowed it down for about maybe a year. And then everyone's like, ah, what the heck? You know, so it really didn't slow it down. But I don't think people are jumping into buying homes on Cape Cod for Airbnb. You know, the people that go to Cape Cod, a lot of them are still, you know, they're thinking about their, like you said, their family coming, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And even though they don't use it, and that's like, I have clients who say to me, you know, I'll talk to them for 3 years before they actually sell their house.
Right. It's a long-term decision.
They've
right.
had it for 25 years. Right. They go there in the summer and then they don't go there the rest of the year. But it's hard to let go of. One person I'm talking to in Falmouth, his dad built the house.
Yeah.
And he's gotten to the point where it's even hard for him to maneuver down to the beach. So his wife's like, seriously, you know, this is not a great thing. But it's hard to let go.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time. So one of the things that I do is, I talk to people for years before they sell.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk
plant
to them.
Plant that seed.
Well, you just, you
build
know,
a,
they've
advise.
Often they planted the seed on, you know, they've come to me, but then we still wait,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's okay, because I think you don't want someone feeling uncomfortable about selling their home.
Right.
You know, they have to feel that. That's why I ask the question. You know, inevitably when I have the conversation, they say, oh, I love my home. I love my home. I'm like, yeah, it's a beautiful home. I love it too. You should stay and enjoy it, because I want them to say to me, no, I want to sell, because
mm-hmm.
that means they've gotten to the point where it's time. And you don't want to be wrestling with someone about selling a house. You want them to say how, and then I can do my job, which is, you know, I give them a list of things that I should be doing, you know, and the important thing is great media, because media sells.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have great photos. I have a great, if I can give a plug, Drone Home Media in Massachusetts. These guys are great. Like if you look at videos, once you see their video and you see someone else's video, you're like, wow, that's, and everyone says it.
And
that's
staging
tremendous.
And everything else that goes along with that. Yeah. You don't just put your house on the market.
No,
it's a whole.
Absolutely not.
You
have to think about the timing of it.
Yeah.
Because people will say, you know, like right now, I have four people who want to list their home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, ah, well, I'll worry about that in the fall. And I said,
rhododendrons are out. Take those pictures.
Right. That's right. Now's the time. We're going to have a good drone. I mean, these guys have drone videos that go 2 miles out.
Oh, wow.
And a half a mile up and do the whole thing. And,
yeah.
and, you know, you want your home at peak, you know, leaf, grass,
yes.
flowers.
Yes.
And so even if you don't want to sell till September.
Uh-huh. Get it now.
Get it done. So it's there and it's beautiful. And then whenever you want to, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of winter, there's nothing better than showing someone a green lawn and beautiful flowers and a beach.
Right.
That's exactly what everyone wants to think
about. The pictures sell. We got a couple of minutes left. Again, we're speaking with Jeffrey Marcus from Sotheby's. Check out the things that he writes, because he does a really good job. That's why he's driven all the way from Cape Cod to be in the studio today. Jeffrey, JeffreyMarcus, MarcusMarcus.com. So with a few minutes left, you know,
can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to be on my subscriber list, they could just, you know, go there, contact me and say, please put me on.
Okay. Do you charge for that?
Nope.
No, it's free advice.
It's free advice.
Free good advice. And speaking of free good advice, we got a couple of minutes left. So we've hit on some key points here. So what is your best piece of advice for people that are just, you know, in the process of, you know, where in the hell should I go? What should I do? Help me.
So if you contact me, I'll actually give you a quiz. But there's a quiz that basically talks about,
I don't do well on quizzes.
Are you living your best life? And so I'll just look at a couple of things. So one of the things is you could talk about the characteristics of your home, like how many bedrooms mm-hmm. you have and how often you use them.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, you know, how many times are you in this room? Like if you haven't been in a room for a week,
yeah,
chances are that's probably not necessary to your life. Think about the things that you do, your activities, like the people that you see. Are you doing the things you want to do? You love to play
yard
tennis.
Yard work every weekend.
If yard work is probably the top of it, unless that's your thing, you know, if you love to play tennis, or you love to go sailing, or if you just love to meet with people and talk, or whatever you like to do, are you doing that?
And is your house prohibiting you from doing that?
Yeah,
right?
Maybe you're 50 miles away from your best friend. Wouldn't it be better to be right near your best friend?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So think about, you know, kind of analyze where you are, and don't let your house that you love and that has all those memories, but don't let that be the thing.
Don't let that drive the decision.
Right.
Right.
Right. Because you have these years to live.
Yeah.
And you want to enjoy them to the.
You know what you should add to your questionnaire?
What?
How many steps will you still be able to go up and down? Are you able to go up and down the staircase?
That's funny you said that, because I'm looking for a home for someone. She's going to sell her home, and she wants to buy a smaller home. And she just had a hip problem.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the home that we were looking at that was the perfect home, that's way too many stairs.
Yeah.
So now we're looking for a whole different home. So
hey,
make sure that you know, that it makes sense for you.
That's right. We're all getting a little older, right, Jeffrey Marcus?
Well, that's good, because not getting older has its problems as well.
It does. As usual, it was a pleasure talking to you.
We'll do
this again soon, all right?
Thanks, Sam.
So just hang in there, folks. If you're buying or selling, just take the time, find the right realtor.
Absolutely.
And make sure to check out Jeffrey Marcus, jeffrey-marcus.com. So thanks for being here, and thanks to all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. I'm Ann Baldwin, and we'll see you back here again next weekend on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.